I tell you, I then I saw a third thing. John Malkin had a poster that he had been working on. Apparently, he's been working on this stuff for years. These procedures they're working on, they go on and on. How many complaints did they get since their last meeting? None. No complaints. Although we have seen police abuse at the sleep out at City Hall. It's just people at City Hall have not had the time to get over to do the complaining. Actually, I believe that Dan Hopkins began that complaint yesterday and maybe continuing it today. And Sean today took out papers to file a claim against the city for food stolen by Lieutenant Joe Habe. The police lieutenant is doing the dirty work here for, I guess it's for Mayor Rotkin. I mean, who else can it eventually be for? I mean, Rotkin is the main person who's being protested, and that's what's going on.
He took our lentils, man. He took our lentils.
Okay, now, there you have it. What happened was he intimidated Dan Hopkins into throwing away the lentils. And then Habe lied to another vigil member and told, essentially, said it was the fault of Dan Hopkins that all this food got destroyed, that Habe had no intention of doing this. Actually, Habe is intent on destroying the vigil, and he doesn't mind using extra legal means to do so. What's your view on that, Tim?
You don't want to take this guy to a picnic.
Well, so lots of issues are coming up around the vigil. I hope police review will be invigorated. I hope that Malkin's attempt to do more outreach to the community on behalf of how to file a complaint is not quashed by the Citizens Police Review Board. But watching this whole display of non-support for at least Malkin's basic right to speak, and not particularly critically, as I understand it, at Belcher, because Malkin is a very circumspect guy, much too circumspect for me. I mean, he sounds like bureaucratic gobbledygook when he talks frequently. Sorry about that, John, but that's how it sounds often. He doesn't talk in plain English. You know, I mean, it sounds like, you know, he's ready to play bureaucratic ease all day, although I think he does have genuine concerns about police review and wants to see some changes and wants to see people filing complaints if they're being abused and wants to see policy changes in the police department. Anyway, that was the sad scene that happened on Monday night. The board didn't support him. The board was, you know, incredibly deferential to the chief. This is the man who is their major adversary. He is the individual who heads the department that they are supposed to be watchdogging, for God's sake. I mean, this is toy poodle stuff. You know, this isn't watchdogging. This is fawning. This is hire and salary. You know, this is ridiculous. Anyway, that's the police review board. Police complaints are continuing to come in about the vigil. As I said, I was over there an hour ago, and Sean, who is one of the two, Sean Alamy, who's Feed the People guy, who's out there feeding the people 4 or 5 days nights a week, even as he does his vigil at City Hall, he continually says that he is not political. He does not want to be political. He tries to be very friendly with the police department and very friendly with the city officials. But Habe apparently has crossed even Sean's boundaries into the forbidden zone by the kinds of false statements Habe was making to him. And these were statements, by the way, they weren't just witnessed by unreliable witnesses or by controversial and partisan people like myself, but they were also heard by Sherry Connable, who's, as I said at the beginning of this program, been at odds with me on many different occasions. She's excluded me from her meetings. She's a pal of numerous city council members, or gives that impression, Celia Scott and Catherine Byers. And I've frequently criticized her on this program. I've occasionally criticized her for not opening up those meetings with council members to other people. I think she should. But even she couldn't stomach what she saw with Habe today. Well, I have a kind of a tape here I have a number of tapes. I'm actually hopeful that these tapes are going to work. I'm going to kind of give you a blast from the recent past. The vigil has kind of produced a number of side shows. On Saturday night, I think it was Saturday, maybe it was Friday night. It was Friday or Saturday night this weekend. The Friends of the Library were throwing a book fair at the Civic Auditorium. And the Civic Auditorium is right across the street from City Hall, where this sleepout is happening. And so I just decided I'd go over and do a little flyering right outside the book fair, because some rather, well, Well-dressed people were arriving who might not know about the vigil, who had access to a phone, and we were encouraging people to call in to encourage Mike Rotkin to act on an emergency suspension of the sleeping ban, which he has the option to put on the ballot with, I guess, four or five other council votes 72 hours before the Tuesday council meeting. Of course, he did nothing of the kind, and we failed in that effort to reach him through reason about that crisis, to get him to do what Willie Brown in San Francisco does, and namely, at least says he's going to do, decriminalize sleeping up in San Francisco, to do that down here in Santa Cruz. So I went over to the Civic with my flyers to encourage these folks to take a flyer and make a phone call. And indeed, people were taking flyers and thanking me and asking occasional questions. And I was standing on the porch of the Civic Auditorium, you know, the area where you usually buy tickets. It was sort of a darkened area, since I learned that this was a paid event, and you went to the door, and then you walked in after paying your amount of money, or I think you have to be a member of the Friends of the Library, which some sort of membership fee. And so I walked up to the door, and I kind of asked how long the event would be going on, and the woman at the door said, "Why are you asking me this?" And I said, "Well, I just wonder, why are you asking me this?" And I turned to another woman and said, "How long is the event going to go on?" Because she seemed like maybe she had some sort of emotional problem. I wasn't sure what it was. And the other woman said, "It'll be going on until 8:30. And I said, "Oh, okay, thank you." And then another man immediately stepped up and said, "You can't be here. You're going to have to leave." I said, "Well, I'm out here. You're in there. That's fine with me. I don't expect to crash your event." I said, "No, you'll have to leave the porch of this whole area. We're renting this whole Civic Center public area." And I said, "No way. This is a public this is a public space, and I intend to stay here and flyer. I'm not inside your event. Your doorway is what divides the event. If you had set up some kind of a barrier out here, I would have respected that, but I'm not going to, you know, move away from what is obviously public space." He says, "Okay, then we're going to call the police." And here is a tape of what happened. And actually, coincidentally, Tim here, who is also a sleeper at the vigil, as you know, and is a guest in the studio today, was at that event. Weren't you, Tim?
Yes, I was, Robert. I kind of got in on the middle of this thing, and I mean, on the one hand, the request to Robert itself, which was to move about 10 feet, didn't seem so peculiar in itself. And had it been another event, I might have thought, "Oh, this is no big deal." But the fact that it was a library association, you can take that off the air. The fact that they were a library, and Robert was merely passing out literature, and spreading information and practicing his First Amendment rights, that's what didn't quite gel. You know, I mean, if this was, I don't know, for it to be the library, who of all people should be in favor of having ideas and information spread, and something, and the information he was spreading, which was simply about people being able to sleep at night. I mean, it wasn't even as if he was handing out, you know, radical hate literature, or even protesting something that the library itself was doing, which, even if it was, he should be allowed to do that. But I mean, it seemed so innocuous.
Yeah, and indeed, I didn't ask to go inside, you know, and mingle with the rich and famous in there. Well, here's what happened. Here's some of the tape, folks. You actually get to hear some real dialogue that happened on that night.
We're to March 8, 1996. We're walking in at the Civic Auditorium, giving out flyers at the book show, and some individual has already told me to leave on threat of calling the police. Unfortunately, I didn't get enough interaction with the guy to find out exactly what his name was. But perhaps I will.
Be on the porch.
Who am I speaking to?
I am Al Estrella. I've already talked to, you know, your whole trip, so...
And what is your position, Al?
My position? I know your position. I'm in charge of the auditorium tonight.
I see.
Okay? So you should know this. You can go on the sidewalk. You can't be up here. This is the promoters have rented the auditorium.
If you want to call for a bus, you can. As far as I'm concerned, nobody's being bothered with
you.
That's fine.
As long as you're on the flyer.
Get a job.
Oh, thank you very much.
If you don't move off the porch, that is,
I am going to call the cops.
Well, you're entitled.
Because you're entitled to be on the sidewalk.
It's up to you.
I have a flyer.
The choice is yours.
This is a public area.
No, this is not.
Hey,
this is the
nobody's being interfered with your. I don't understand your motivation for doing this, so I can't. Unless you can explain it to me, I can't.
I am
really
trying to explain it to you.
Explain it to me.
This is the Civic Auditorium.
Yes. Here, ma'am.
This is rented by the promoter. This is considered private property right now.
I'm wondering
the
what
sidewalk
your problem
is not.
What is your problem with homeless literature being distributed here?
You could pass it out on the sidewalk.
What's your problem with it being
distributed? Why are you being confrontational?
You're coming out and confronting me.
No,
I'm not confronting you.
I am just asking you nicely.
You're
to
coming
go on
out
the
and trying to move
you're
me away. Why is that?
If you want to go, take
flyer, ma'am.
Okay.
There you go. Now, I don't understand your reason. Have a homeless flyer, ma'am. See, it seems to me you're being unreasonable.
I'm not being unreasonable. You're being unreasonable.
I'm outside your event, as far as I'm concerned. This
you're
is
not outside
area.
The event. You're on the porch. You're on the civic property.
Here.
Walk, it's fine. But if you stay up here, I'm going
to
flyer.
Well, you have a right to call the police. I've got no problem with that. As far as I'm concerned, what I'm doing is quite legal. Flyer, sir? It's about the homeless event across the street. Have a good evening. How's it going? We're having a sleep out across the street. Oh, yeah, I mean, they're being very... I mean, there's no reason why they have any concern, except he wants to repress what's going on out here. It's strange.
Is this the thing by Costco?
Right. It's about the homeless vigil across the street. Well, I'll find out, I guess.
Well, good luck, man.
All right. Homeless flyer, folks. There's a vigil across the street. 7:30, and if you're here,
it's about 7:40 to 8:00, and I'm talking to Tim Ricker here, right outside the Civic Auditorium in an apparently illegal place. Flyer folks?
I mean, it's one thing when they come by and they say, and they see our flyers are wet,
right.
And they come by and say, oh, that's wet
this
trash.
This is the man who's threatened to call the police.
I mean, that's one thing worth suing the police force about,
right.
In terms of First Amendment rights. But then,
would you folks like a flyer?
These don't seem wet. They seem
about the
fairly,
vigil
fairly dry.
Do you mind doing it down on the sidewalk? I think that that's public property, and we'd just assume it wasn't happening right outside the door.
Why? What's the reason for that?
Because it's kind of a special event, and we'd like for you to pass. We're perfectly welcome to hit people. They still have to walk by you.
Well,
I would prefer that you did it down there.
I understand, and I don't really see any problem with this area here, provided people aren't inconvenienced.
But I do. I spent a lot of time setting this whole thing up, and I would like you to step down there.
Do you want me to
call the police?
I don't think I'm interfering with your situation.
All right. I'm just asking nicely
if you'll cooperate with me. If you choose not to cooperate, then
I'll call the police.
Well, you have a right to do that,
okay.
And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you.
I'm really sorry. That's public. And all I'm asking is that you step down 10 feet.
This area is not fenced off. I think an argument can be made in court that's a public area, too. And
if you want to bother
to go to court on this, then you can. I mean,
oh, come on.
You know,
you would do that? Robert, you know, I mean, you want to take the Friends of the Library to court? Do you think that would do you a lot of good?
You're taking me to court.
I have to interrupt this tape at this point. Obviously, I'm not trying to take the Friends of the Library to court. They're threatening to arrest me. I mean, hey, come on, let's get our story straight here.
You're threatening me with the police. You had this man threaten me earlier.
I did not ask
you
anyone to threaten
on several
you.
Occasions.
I asked you if you didn't get off the foot.
Yes. You're telling me that in a public area,
all right.
You want me to give
all right.
away literature.
Sir.
The Friends of the Library?
Sir.
This is outrageous. I'm sorry.
It's not outrageous.
You're
all
outrageous.
She's out
here
is that you go down to the sidewalk.
I would just like you to step to the
I'm not bothering anybody here except her.
No, you're refusing.
I don't see any reason to at this moment.
You see no reason to move.
We're asking you
to pass that information.
And I think he should too. I've asked
the sidewalk and do it.
This is a public area.
Why do you want to create such a stir?
I'm not creating a stir. I'm trying to give away literature. You're the people who are coming out.
We're asking you just to go on down to the sidewalk.
I know.
Can you cooperate with that?
I'm telling you that I think it's important for free speech purposes, provided no one is interfering.
We understand free speech. We understand that.
Okay. Why don't you allow me my free speech?
Guess what? You know what? I think you're totally out of line.
Yeah.
Completely out of line.
Yes.
But you're ruining my whole evening,
yes.
And I've worked too hard for that.
Don't let it be ruined. Go back inside. Have a good evening. No
really
one.
Really
wait,
bad
I think
him.
He's ruining your whole evening. You want
to
get out here.
No way. This man is doing a
Trestle and Capitola, and you were a woman.
Well, that you see, the batteries on the machine began to fail at that point, but you get the general idea. That was at the Civic Auditorium, right across from the Sleep Out at City Hall. I giving away literature to people who were attending a Friends of the Library event, outside that event, but on the porch of the Civic Auditorium, and harassed repeatedly by members of the Friends of the Library. Hard to fathom. In a way, though, it's essentially kind of people expanding private spaces, contracting public spaces. I guess it's in a way a form of class discrimination, because I was, you know, I'm a kind of a grubbly dressed guy with a beard giving out literature actually to people who it would have no impact on as far as the Friends of the Library was concerned, one way or the other. I mean, they were there to buy books. The idea that they had to insist on their territorial as much territorial possessiveness as they could was just it's kind of strange. Anyway, that was what was happening there, and unfortunately my tapes are a little in disarray, but I'm going to ignore that, and luckily I have a phone call. Perhaps we'll be able to carry on from here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hello.
Try again, caller. I think we may have missed you earlier and let you ring a bit. Let's see if we can get you back. What have we got here? Go ahead, Tim. Did you want to say something?
Well, I think the incident with the library, I think it just comes out and shows the moneyed interest of the event. You know, this is about yuppies and attracting wealth, and it seems that the homeless and homeless activists, and in particular Robert Norris, are not a friend, are not friends of Friends of the Library, and that was, as far as I could tell, not brought on by Robert or the homeless. I don't know what their trip was. That's what it just comes down to. It's just they did not want Robert there, and it's the recent events in this town have really been bringing out the prejudice against the homeless in this town. You know, this and the fire out on the van on Westcliff. I mean, it's just a chilly winter in Santa Cruz.
Indeed, a cold and a rainy spring, and one which the mayor refuses to respond to the most elemental and important concern, the right to sleep at night, a concern which, again, San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown has already responded to by declaring publicly that sleeping was no longer an offense in San Francisco. And that's a big town. There's a lot of people there. As I said at a speech at City Council meeting last night, and I'm going to hope to play you that speech, it's strange that we in a smaller town can't at least do as well as San Francisco.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, Robert, tell us the outcome.
Of the outcome?
Yeah, the confrontation with the Friends of the Library.
Well, they came out about four or five times, and that made me feel most uncomfortable, unwelcome, and anxious that I was going to be dragged away or at least confronted in an uncomfortable way with the police. But I thought it wouldn't be appropriate for me to leave that situation. I hadn't given away the flyers.
Right.
People were taking them. So I continued to give them out.
Good for you.
And finally, when all the flyers were gone, I thought, should I go get some more and do this? And I thought, no, I've had enough for the night. And about half an hour after this conversation you just heard, I left.
Well, next time, take extra batteries. That's the most incredible, I don't know how to characterize that.
Friends of the Library, but apparently enemies of the Constitution. It's kind of hard to figure what they're doing there.
Really. Well, right on, Robert. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
What I'm going to do now is go back to interviews from the very first, actually it's the second day of the vigil at City Hall. There was a lot of good stuff that happened. It's not as well-sorted as it might be, but I think you may find some of it interesting. And while we're hearing these, I'm going to queue up more stuff for you. And you, of course, can call in, because you're listening to 96.3, the Wednesday edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, Rights of the Poor in Santa Cruz. We're particularly following the controversy around the right to sleep at night, the mayor's indifference to that and to bigotry in Santa Cruz, because I think his official policy of go to sleep, go to jail
is really what bigots are using to expand and to develop their own themes, such as a flyer, people on whose vans they don't like the look of, and so forth, such as appeared in the Saturday Sentinel. But let's hear something from the sleeper. Dan Hopkins and Shannon are the River Street Refugees here, and Dan's going off to a River Street Refugee fundraiser up at Stevenson. So Shannon, come on over and meet Uncle Bob here.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Shannon, Bob.
Hi.
Bob, Shannon.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'd ask you for a hug, but I don't want
so
you to.
So nobody's put out? It's getting...
Put out anything?
Putting out the criminal matter, which is...
Oh, sleeping?
Sleeping bags.
No sleeping bags have been put out, but then again, it won't be relevant until after 11, so...
That's right. This is a public place, right?
It is a public place. Very public and quite a place.
And we're gathering here to get some sleep. Is that the idea?
Sleep and some food and a nice ride to the paddy, in the paddy wagon, so to speak.
Well, it's kind
no
of funny.
No paddy wagon rides for me. Thank
it's
you.
Kind of funny that we should talk is that there's a building right over here that is totally empty.
That's the old police station.
The old police station. Yes.
Possibly we should occupy that building.
Well, Food Not Bomb served one time, like right in the hall there.
Mm-hmm.
And police came by a couple times, but they just tried to pretend that we weren't here. But, you know, they had to come by and see what we were doing. It was raining, by the way. But that building could be actually fixed, and people could live in there. Why couldn't we live in there? Right next door City Hall? We should be able to do that. You can camp out if we need to. And it looks like we need to because we can't afford rent anymore.
The truth is so. And who knows it better than Skidmark's Bob, even without his guitar.
This is true. Should be in Berkeley right now, but I'm not.
But why aren't you in Berkeley, Bob?
Because I came here.
Well, now we're talking.
Justin's playing tomorrow night at the Long Hall, of all places.
Mm-hmm. That's up in Berkeley.
Never played the Long Hall. I think it's a phenomenal occasion.
Right.
And we're going to unleash our...
His interview from March 2nd to be aware of that.
There you go.
Well,
and then there's a Mia thing happening tomorrow at a high school, and then there's also the Stop Epidemic on Police Abuse, which is run by Food Not Bomb San Francisco and Cop Watch, and that happening March 8th. Brian, your old stomping ground, they hauled you off there, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, that's the Hall of Justice, or just them, in San Francisco. Well,
you should conserve your tapes.
I think I will. Thank you, Bob. So, Sean, you've returned, and you say you intend to spend the night here.
Yeah, I'm homeless. I want to see something done. Again, I got to keep Feed the People non-political. You know, this has nothing to do with Feed the People. It has to do with me personally.
Right.
You know?
And you're concerned about the rights of the homeless?
Or? Of course. How you doing, Tim? You hungry?
So, you two are homeless at the moment, aren't you, Tim?
Yes, I am.
And does this mean that there's a possibility that you may join this motley crew of criminal lawbreakers here at the City Hall?
Well, it's closer than the coconut.
I see. In a word.
Great answer.
This means I may have to bring my sleeping bag as well. I mean, if this could get to be a kind of a trend or a bad habit, I'm not sure which. I'm
not really interested in getting arrested, but I wouldn't mind hanging out.
All right, cool.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, man. Can I get some juice?
Yeah, sure.
So Feed the People is still feeding the people. It's around 7:30.
That was good.
It is good.
7.
If you get arrested, I could go play your tape on the radio.
That's right. Tim has agreed. If I get arrested, to play my tape on the radio. The Lions and the Lambs are all getting together. Sometime rivals, Food Not Bombs, Bob Duran and Feed the People's Sean, in the same area in a friendly manner. I'm most impressed. I must say.
We're not rivals. We're all do the same service. Feed homeless, hungry people.
Would you agree with that, Bob?
Yeah.
Fine. Well, Weenie City, as the two put on the smiles for each other, but the hatred underneath. Well, perhaps.
You turn a bear over
here. This guy's starting. You're trying to start shit up now.
Trying to start some shit here, man. I mean, I'm getting bored with this whole thing. No, actually, it's fine. Here we have the notorious Bam Bam. Hello, Bam Bam.
I'm eating. Who's going to hear this?
Free Radio Santa Cruz audience, Chief Belcher, FBI Director Free, the whole gang.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, you know...
Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
This is
Becky?
Oh, hi, Becky Johnson of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless.
Yeah, I was listening to your show, and I thought it was interesting that the library would be involved in basically suppressing your right to for freedom of speech.
Well, you have to draw lines somewhere, you know.
It was a disturbing contradiction. I thought I'd point that out. And I wanted to add that I have added the Library Oversight Committee onto our FaxFest list.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Becky Johnson, you are actually one of the main publicity people who's supporting the Sleep Out at City Hall, isn't that right?
Correct.
And so can folks contact you for information? Are you reached the point where you want to give out your number or not?
Not my number, but do anyone who would like, I'm keeping complete information of the press releases that we've been sending out and am acting as a clearinghouse for information of sorts. Until we have a moratorium on the camping ban in place that shall stay in place until an open-air shelter is opened. It's only reasonable.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more, of course. And I think we're all united in that particular concern. And I invite people who are listening who agree with that position to give yet another call to 429-3550 and ask a city council member of your choice to take request emergency action on this. We have only 3 days till March 15th when the Winter Armory shelter closes.
Now, I'm fairly certain that they're going to come across with some sort of voucher program in the state parks, that those sorts of negotiations are underway, and certainly something is always better than nothing. But this camping ban and its violation of civil rights and its lack, you know, conditions that, do you know Amnesty International's position on these sorts of laws?
I understand from Keith McHenry that Amnesty International hasn't taken a position so much as the UN Commission on Human Rights, which is concerned about criminalizing homeless people. And
mm-hmm.
I think they have taken a position. Amnesty International has taken a position on the right of political prisoners who are, for instance, charged with nonviolent crimes like feeding people. That I, for example, have been adopted as a prisoner of conscience by Amnesty International should I enter jail for serving the homeless free food in San Francisco, which I was convicted of, sentenced for 2 months for, and am now facing a decision coming from the California Supreme Court one of these days or one of these years. Who knows when they're going to make up their minds on that one.
You criminal.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm trying to consider how I can best be a bagel burglar or a bagelier.
Well, this is also part of it, is this criminalization of more and more activities are considered criminal. The curfew law is a good example, where activities that were once perfectly legal are now criminal, and hence subject to the overburdened justice system. There was an article in the Sentinel today about the Board of Supervisors had reluctantly turned over $89,000 to Juvenile Hall, because they're throwing, you know, so many more teenagers into protective custody or something like that. So.
And there's just so many more juveniles who are accused of crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that brings us to another subject which you've been following rather closely. You've been writing you've been videoing a documentary about Juvenile Hall, Child Protective Services, and the general situation for the youth in Santa Cruz. And
the family courts.
And the family courts. What's happening with that video? What's it called again?
It's called For Kids' Sake, ABC, a documentary on abuses in the family law system in Santa Cruz County.
And your main video man, Patrick Lancelin, was jailed for 6 days on a very unusual contempt of court proceeding, to say the least, which he's now facing trial for. I understand his attorney thinks they're just going to drop it. There's some sort of attorneys who are working.
Well, it's currently scheduled to go to trial on March 18th, which is on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and at 8:30 in the morning.
That's next Monday.
Judge Tom Kelly's court.
That's Kangaroo Kelly, who's running
against. Kelly, who is up for re-election court.
He's fighting a Whiff of Hope Watts, who I hope to have on this station at some point to interview him. He's gotten sort of a bad rap. You pointed out that the Sentinel did quite a hatchet job on Watts.
Oh, my. I was just laughing at the absurdity of it.
Commissioner Watts, before you go ahead, Becky, is actually known to us as a judge. He was the first judge who actually gave us a very favorable ruling on the sleeping ban, and it was quickly turned back. But Watts has always been much more sympathetic than any of the other judges around homeless cases. And
I have heard people say that when... Now, I don't really remember Watts that much myself, but I've heard other people say that he was the only good judge we had and that they got rid of him.
That's true. They did get rid of him. All the other judges, with the exception of McAdams, are former district attorneys from Art Danner's DA stable, or I don't know, would you say rat nest? It's hard to say. Yeah.
Well, or as our friend Bob would say, weasel.
Yeah, well, yeah, that might be a good way of putting it. Mm. Anyway...
that den of weasels.
Well, you noticed, you pointed out to me that Watts...
No. There are public servants, and they're accountable for what they say and do.
Right. Well, you pointed out to me that Watts, who's running for against Tom Kelly, had an ad for himself in the Sentinel, which the Sentinel seemed to fill with, or somebody filled with, typographical and spelling errors.
There were probably 10 or 12... major typographical and spelling errors,
making Watts look like an idiot
throughout the entire ad, and it was a fairly large ad.
And there was also a hit piece on Watts nearby, right? In terms of the Sentinel story,
on another page in the paper. In fact, when I was reading the paper, I read the article on it before I ever saw the advertisement, paid political advertisement. And it gave Tom Kelly an opportunity to rebut everything that Watts was saying in his advertisement.
Sort of a free political ad for Tom Kelly.
Right. Well, yes.
Well, I'm hoping,
it was very favorable to Tom Kelly.
You know, I'm hoping we can get Watts on the air, and I'm even going to invite Kelly to come on the air, because Kelly I like as a person.
And then the Watts ad reappeared the next day with all of the typos corrected.
Hopefully, yeah, I guess maybe because they're afraid of a lawsuit. Huh? Well, what about your documentary? How's it going? Has it gotten any further, and when are we likely to see the finished product?
Well, it will... There are six installments. So the first installment will be out soon.
This is a documentary for kids' sake, and it's about Child Protective Services and the juvenile courts.
And it's the stories of families going through the family courts and who they encounter, what they encounter, with all of these public services that are paid for through taxpayer dollars. To provide support for families in crisis and in need. And indeed, the whole organization Child Protective Services exists entirely to serve and protect children. That's its purpose for being. And we're trying to show that we feel they're falling down on the job. They're not protecting the children. Indeed, they're going past that point where their interference is so great it is to the detriment of the children. And I started out making this film knowing there was a problem, but now that I've been in it, I'm stunned with the enormity of the problem and the blatantness with which these authorities are acting. And as Lisa Ann states on one of our interviews, she said, if the public knew what was going on, they would be outraged.
Miss Ann is, of course, the woman who has lost two of her children to CPS under outrageous circumstances stemming from their dislike of her lifestyle, from the entanglement of a powerful relative with CPS, and I guess just bureaucratic arrogance on the part of the local Santa Cruz CPS.
Mm-hmm. The latest thing I've heard, I've been following this adoption angle, and some down from information we've been able to get off of the internet, they say the current price for social services is they make $45,000 if they are able to take a child away from its parents and put it up for adoption. when they sign that paper and say that baby is adoptable, they get $45,000.
Hmm. Baby selling, eh?
Legal
baby selling.
Oh, you've got your judge's stamp, fine approval on all of these things. And you can, and just by, you know, like they were talking about in the paper today about the juvenile hall, these 33 individuals so far this year. One of those is in our documentary. One of the juveniles is one of the subjects in our For Kids' Sake documentary. And he was sent to a camp down outside of Santa Barbara in February. And a 15-year-old kid, he'd already been at juvenile hall for a year. And the court ruled to send him down there for 6 months. The basis of that was that they did a urine test on him, and he tested positive for marijuana. Now, this is after he's been in the juvenile hall facility for a year under their control with their guards, their whatever kind of security they have. She says motion detectors.
So, in essence, they punished him for smoking marijuana that they negligently let in.
Well, and from what I've heard from other juveniles, they say that within juvenile hall, these juveniles are able to get heroin, cocaine, LSD, as well as marijuana, alcohol, and tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
So they're more poorly managed behind at juvenile hall than they are in their parents' homes. In their parents' homes, they would have
better supervision. And of course, you know, as usual, the prison operates as a microcosm of the society, where the criminalization of the drug and its scarcity makes it more likely that it will be available for the right price. And that's what happens there. And of course, who's blamed for it? The convicts, or the, in this case, the youthful inmates. I don't know what they call them. Well, let me thank you for this update. Is there anything more you want to add about this documentary you're doing? I'm going to kind of roll into the next segment, as we like to say in Radio Land.
Well, when our first episode, when we put it out, we will be putting up a phone number for people to call. And at that point, anyone who's had some sort of a problem is asked to call that we can get some idea of the scope of this problem. So watch for that
then,
on Channel 71.
And until then, if anybody does have information that they want to get to Becky, you can leave a message at the Huff hotline. That's the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom number, which is also my number, which is easily enough, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. If you have problems with juvenile hall, if you have information you think the public should know about, give me a call at 423-4833, and I'll put you in touch with Becky here.
Thank you for that, Robert.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Becky Johnson.
And you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, going strong, and apparently at least going strong for another month, because the FCC hearing against Free Radio Berkeley has been put off from March 15th to April 12th. Yes, I repeat, in case you hadn't already heard, the March 15th FCC attack on Free Radio Berkeley has been postponed by Judge Claudia Wilkin, the federal judge who is hearing that whole business, to April 12th. We don't have an exact court date or time yet, but that is the information we have at the moment. Also want to say that I got a call off air from Phil Free, a notorious street musician, radio broadcaster, and all-around brat, who pointed out that he found, though he would normally have held me responsible for any problems with the Friends of the Library, it sounded so outrageous on the tape that even he would have to come down reluctantly in my corner. So I want to thank Phil Free for that ringing vote of confidence. Thank you, Phil, and may your day go well on the mall before you're hauled away by the next group of police officers. You know, I think we should have, I understand last night you did an Officer Ober Hour, a kind of an honorable or a tribute Officer Ober, an Officer Ober Watch, where people called in and gave all the information they knew about this particular police officer, who apparently has been having special dealings with some of the musicians on the mall of a rather hostile nature. Because indeed, while we have been focusing on the sleep out at City Hall and other things, the mall situation continues, the gentrification pressure, the use of the downtown ordinances. Indeed, I've been told It has not been denied that pepper gas is still being possessed by some of the hosts, and that may include John Behrens, the man who pepper gassed D-Bob, the Food Not Bombs worker. And why was he pepper gassed? He was pepper gassed because he had a confrontation developed because this host was trying to determine if he had had an open container and wanted to stop him from drinking from an open container. Untrained people engaged in this kind of petty anti-bullshit harassment of homeless people for actions that would be legal if you had the money to be, let's say, in a bar, is the kind of discriminatory stuff that produces violence, produces resentment, and produces class war on the streets of Santa Cruz. And I'm afraid that that's something that the Downtown Association has yet to learn. And who knows, maybe they'll pick up an interesting lesson on the 16th of March, when all of us do a lie down to show them that that's the day that we're intending to do a sleep, kind of a, we're going to do a speak out at the Cathcart and Pacific at 1, we're going to have a meal there, and then we're going to kind of march down and do a lie down downtown to let the merchants know exactly, and the entire community of Santa Cruz know, that if you can't sleep outside at night, well, then maybe you can sleep during the day in a more prominent place downtown Santa Cruz. Of course, lying down on the mall, thanks to Kennedy and Rotkin and all the other fearless council members, is illegal in Santa Cruz. Even though such laws have been put on hold in Berkeley, no brave ACLU attorneys have stepped forward to do anything of that kind here in Santa Cruz. Margaret Marr, take note. Let's get busy there, shall we? Ben Rice, jump off the murder cases for a while and hop onto the ACLU bandwagon, deal with the civil liberties of the poor here in Santa Cruz. That would be nice. Well, what happened last night at City Council was, of course, negligible. But interestingly enough, we had about 8 or 9 speakers, and several of them homeless speakers, including Tim Rinker with me here in the studio. I didn't catch all of it on tape, but I did catch some of it, and there is a tape available of City Council's activities and its oral communication in the library in case you want to hear that or past tapes. But we're going to play a little bit of that now, and I guess we're going to tune in the middle of Tim's speech. Every City Council meeting, as most of you listeners know, at 7 o'clock, and every second, fourth Tuesday the City Council meets, you're able to speak aloud for 3 minutes to the City Council if you can get in there in the first half hour and on any subject not on the agenda. So since they don't want to put any homeless issues on the agenda, since they don't want to discuss the sleeping ban, we had to bring it up, and we brought it up through oral communications.
First time here. Tim Rinker speaking. In Santa Cruz. And as you probably know, it's one of the worst places with the biggest difference between the average income and the average rent. I've had to sell my car to pay off debts. I'm still in debt, but I continue to work. I continue to get work, and I do not panhandle. I am trying to raise myself out of my situation. And in fact, I'm doing pretty well. I've saved up about $800 or $900, which I'm hoping to move into a room for about $300 or less. So far, I haven't found one. I'm starting a job up at the university on Thursday, and as of Saturday, I'll be an illegal sleeper. I just wanted to tell you a few more of my problems, just to put this in context, because I've been going along with the program, right? I've been going up to the Armory, and I've been staying there, and so far I've been legal. I've been avoiding tickets, even though I support the sleep out here, and I've slept out here a couple times. I've done my best to avoid getting arrested and avoid getting tickets. Okay, well, last week I was also working up at the university, and I get out of work at 4:30, and you pretty much have to be at the Armory program by 6. So I pretty much have a window between 4:30 and 6. Now, up at the Armory, there's no phone. We don't even get 3 phone calls like you do in jail. There's no phone. So I have to make all my calls to find a house between 4:30 and 6. And I checked on a couple houses last week, and it kind of went like this. Call one day, I'm calling about the house. Sorry, nobody's here right now. Can you call back later? Well, I've only got until about 6 o'clock. How about if I call back tomorrow? Okay, call back tomorrow, see if anyone's here. So I call back the next day. There's no answer. Call back around 5:30, no answer. Call back the next day, get an answering machine. Hi, I'm calling about the house. Call back the next day. Oh, yeah, sorry, we rented the house. What I'm asking for is you're putting me in a position of fight or flight, and I feel like I have to fight. I do not want to be treated like a criminal. All I want is basic dignity. You know, I can go out and I can hide and I can play your little games. I can camp out in Poganip and not be found. I can camp under a bridge and not be found. But that's not right. You're making me a criminal for doing nothing more than sleeping. I'm not asking you for a big handout. And you're making the black hole of debt blacker. You're making a blacker hole of homelessness. And the light at the end of the tunnel is a policeman's flashlight. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Chad. I don't know much about politics or the laws, but what I'd like to say is that I see what's happening is that the people believe that they're very divided. I've been staying with people at the sleep out, and I notice I've stayed on the sidewalk and held signs out as cars go by so they can see what we're trying to say. And I've seen the looks on people's faces, you know, they look at me like with this weird fear thing, as if I'm some kind of... a part-time job, drink some beer on the weekends type of person who didn't think much of any of this. And I also used to look at people in this way. And I would like to ask all of you, it's not even just them, it's every single person. We got to stop seeing people as being different.
This is a chance to address the Constitution.
Okay. So anyways, we just got to stop seeing each other as different because we're all exactly the same. And if we keep looking with these divisions, if you look at me or anybody else and look down upon them, you're wreaking havoc in your own life, and I will tell you that you will feel a lot better if you try to see the same light in that person that is in yourself. Perhaps you don't see it in yourself, I don't know. I can only assume not if you can uphold really evil laws. So I give you my blessings, and I hope you can come to see this light, because life is much more enjoyable with it. I give you all my blessings. I hope that you come to see the same light that I'm learning to see in your brothers and sisters and in yourself. Make your life and our lives a little bit better. Thank you.
All right, it's recording.
Good evening, Mike, and I'm also Catherine Byers, everybody.
You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we're going to pause briefly while Tim will creatively talk about the sleep-out vigil, because we are in the middle of a tape that we have to actually go forward on. We'll spin ahead a bit. You're listening to City Council tapes from last night, oral communications, and there was a little oral communication that wasn't about the sleeping ban, which really wasn't about much that we have any interest in, but...
I thought that was Shunt's right there. I think so.
It was revised back in 76, and now it's being enforced to the homeless people. Mr. Robinson,
it is Sean. You're listening to Sean Alamy, part of his speech at City Council.
You could get arrested for hemp seed nowadays. It's just an infraction to get for with less than an ounce of weed. The times are changing. I think, with all due respect, it's time to look deeply into what's going on and what America is about, what this is about. We need to respect other beings. We need to respect other lives. And you, the people who sit on this council, has the power to change this. At least make lenient. In about a couple of days, there are going to be a lot of people on the street. And the cost factor, as far as putting these people in jail, as far as trying to break their stride, and it's just not logical. I can't see that from Santa Cruz, especially this liberal, which the professor, one of the professors, teaches Marxism at the school. It's fantastic. The ideas are great. Let's act on them. Let's practice them. Let's be one with each other. Thank you.
Let me point out, we're about halfway through world communication. There are other people that haven't spoken to me.
Good evening. Doesn't democracy sparkle with many facets?
I'm going to try not even to use the whole talk, Mayor. I had a small conversation with
This was some other guy. He had his some personal thing going on. I mean, even when people clapped at the end of his thing, he said, "Oh, this is my battle, not yours." It was rather opaque.
Okay, so we are futzing around here with tapes, but hopefully we found the right tape. Let's see where we are.
Rent control initiative sponsored by the owners of the mobile home park,
and it makes it sound as though it is
helping
a couple of other
people
folks
who own mobile homes
talking
in those parks,
about
is not really helping them at
talking
all.
About commending
and
the council for helping them with a rent control initiative, which are supporting a rent control initiative for mobile home parks. What we need, of course, is a rent control initiative for all of Santa Cruz and for apartments generally. Mike Rutkin has been afraid to introduce anything of that kind because he feels it won't pass after having failed three times in the late 70s and early 80s. Now we return to homeless matters that happened at City Council.
My name is John Stewart. I lived here in Santa Cruz since 1976. I've watched the City Council in action. I come down a couple of times to speak. I was born and raised in the Depression. The generation of my parents swore it would never happen again. Me and my brothers and sisters and friends would leave them. It has happened again, only worse. I watched World War II down at the movies in the newsreels every week. And I couldn't understand how a nation could do what the German people did under the Nazis. I could never understand how it happened until the last 10 years, and I see it happening here in the United States. The vilification, the attacks on people made homeless by the economic policies of our nation, are unconscionable. You, sitting at the City Council, administering the policies of the corporate executives to clean up for them, it's inexcusable. You should be advocating on the state and federal level rather than spending time writing these downtown ordinances and this camping ban and wasting your time mealy-mouthing about a camping place. You should be the state capitol and the federal government with all the other city councils demanding a national solution to this problem. There's a national problem created by corporate government with 10 million jobs shipped overseas, and you know it. If you don't work on this as a solution, you will soon be irrelevant, because the people here will soon take it no longer. And we will turn on you, and you will wonder at whether or not the revenge or just to shun you will be enough.
Good evening, Council. That certainly was a hard act to follow as far as I'm concerned. My name is Cole Larson. I haven't spoken before this council before. I've lived in Santa Cruz County for 7 years. I lived for the first 4 years as a caretaker on wooded acreage up near Big Basin Park. It was 160 wooded acres. It was undeveloped at the owner's request. I chose to sleep in my vehicle as I had done prior to that for the previous 20 years, not in California per se, but in other states as well. After 4 years, because of a neighbor's request, the county's permit inspection people came by and said it was people weren't allowed to sleep as they chose on private property in rural Santa Cruz County without a permit to build a permanent dwelling. The owner of the property chose not to get that permit due to the expense involved, and myself and two other people were formally evicted from our rustic and somewhat primitive existence there. It was to my liking. I was able to be self-sufficient and had a part-time job while I was in town while I was living there. As a result of that, I was forced to relocate. I chose to relocate in the city limits of Santa Cruz, where I've been for the last 3 years. I've been a vehicle dweller now in the past, and I will be continuing to be a vehicle dweller in the future. I can go back to a historical precedent in a literary context to Steinbeck's Travels with Charlie. I can go back to English common law of gypsies living in caravans. It can go back as far as the nomadic existence of all peoples. The way I interpret the Declaration of Independence that grants everyone life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, taking the first of those, the right to liberty, taking the existence of the life, the way I look at it, life is predicated on three things: the ability to exist in a waking state, the ability to survive in a sleeping state, and the ability to have food and shelter, food, water, and shelter. Denying any of those concepts denies life itself. A camping ban ordinance, by its nature, denies people their ability to sleep, which, in a broader context, is denying people their ability to live. A person cannot live when they are deprived of sleep for more than a day. You can live without water or food or shelter for extended periods, but serious psychological implications happen when a person is deprived of the right to sleep as part of their right to life. And I think the council should bear that in mind in whatever minute degree of importance that the council deems it, that by having a camping ban ordinance, you're denying people the right to live. Thank you.
Are there others that have not spoken this evening that want to speak to us on items not on this evening's agenda? I don't see any.
7:30, agenda 51 mark. 3 days before the armory closure, I guess we should take an average of how many have been up there, how many will be turned out, and fulfill the promise, which I think they were made 6 weeks to 2 months ago. Money was no problem. Scott Kennedy. And apart from Mr. Rocket's statements, he's the only one that we continue a homeless task study and continue in conjunction with the Open Air Shelter Committee, which would buy the pills publicly when it's going to be out there on the board, continue it, even if it's just a disguise to nothing. It ties up your time, and that's useful. The site, purpose of it, for which would be the site, a park in the permanent. Release on consent calendar next $8,000 for 90, or the average armory in the last 3 months per night to continue camping in state parks. No voucher system can't disallow us from paying the rent. Correct? I mean, any state law could disallow what they've been doing, which is paying the wrong way, which comes out to a whole total of $1.40 per person. $150 total, that'd be a side $150, because in the tent camp, that's about the max the armory could take, and the tent camp was over that.
when you look at them, the way terrorists are treated. I know, we slowed down, thankfully. So either reopen that site. Anyway, citing 150, of which is only 3/5 are productive, is 720 hours a day of productive times 5 days, 3,600 hours of work. In 1 week, you get one man year of work if 3/4 of the 150 sided work. This is possible. It would be better off as serfs. Since you won't grant us that amount of space, you could do what? Fucking recording in our house costs. Now just buy a lot somewhere and put it there. If not, go candy corner across the room and put it there before the supermarket goes in. But sight as you said you would. At least the money bought in there.
The time for one more speaker.
Council members, members of the public, my name is Robert Morris. 4 days ago, Sean Olamy from the City Hall sleepout vigil spoke to Mayor Mike Rodkin, asking him to support an emergency suspension of the city's 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. sleeping ban. With no places to sleep for hundreds of homeless, tickets and arrests are both cruel and pointless. On the eighth day of flyering, petitioning, and illegally sleeping in City Hall last Friday, Sean asked Mayor Rodkin to bring Santa Cruz into the 90s. In San Francisco, Mayor Willie Brown declared an end to the sleep crime matrix program, under which his predecessor Frank Jordan had police issue more than 30,000 tickets for lifestyle crimes. Sleeping is no longer a crime there. Whether San Francisco police are actually carrying out Brown's orders is another darker story, but Brown's new let them sleep policy puts the mayor on record even in the face of business opposition. San Francisco is much more densely populated than Santa Cruz. There are thousands more homeless people, yet Brown bites the bullet and does the right thing. Where does that leave the Santa Cruz homeless and Mayor Rodkin? Hundreds of homeless people in our town face $168 tickets under the Santa Cruz sleeping ban. These people sleep in cars, under bridges, in bushes, in the brush, near public buildings, in parks, in the Poconos, scrambling for shelter from the rain, wherever they can find it. Some were born here, some struggle to find work as they dodge tickets and troll busters, some are disabled, and some just ask to be left alone. On March 15, as you have heard, the Winter Armory shelter closes. The Armory is the not-too-healthy but still legal shelter in which people were herded when Mayor Rodkin helped kill the only legal campground in the country last December. On March 15th, another 80 to 150 people from that armory shelter will face police sweeps, anonymous hate flyers on their van windows, midnight tickets, and random troll busting. 5 votes from this council at this session can ease their burden, or could have eased their burden, had Mayor Rodkin decided to push for this easing that Mayor Brown had in San Francisco. A simple, compassionate decision like that of Mayor Brown can still change the law. But Mayor Rodkin says no. Since this council has failed to act, the community must. The real power lies with the people of Santa Cruz. If downtown merchants remain silent or oppose sleeping ban reforms, we must take the protest to their doorsteps, their shop fronts, and their places of business. Let the community join us. No business as usual for Santa Cruz until tickets for sleep stop. 429-3550 is the 24-hour City Council hotline. Call now. Join us tonight and every night at City Hall until Santa Cruz rejoins San Francisco and the civilized world. Thank you.
And that was City Council's oral communications, or part of it, last night. Mayor Rodkin and no council members had any particular things to say after those oral communications. Becky Johnson has suggested the council may spring a quick vouchers for the park solution idea for the those who are outside. I can't really see how, because the kind of vouchers you'd need would be in the hundreds for homeless people, and because I think it would be very popular to have vouchers for the parks. If that's that's the program, I think it's great. I think it's impractical, but I think it's great. Now it's time for a brief musical break. If you can name the musical in the next 2 minutes, you get a special set of the last 10 Street Jet sheets. So put on your thinking caps and give a call to 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz, if you can guess the name of this famous and rather funny musical. Didn't get it, did you? Well, we didn't either. The tape is crapping out on us. I think the problem is that some of our tape recording machines need mechanical work. take notice. They are hungry, and our tapes are here. I'm going to try the other one. Again, call in quickly and get that special set of I Know Those Treasured Street Shit Sheets.
Did you ever see that picture of that man behind the desk, taking off his glasses and facing you with a manly, friendly smile, a man of decision, a man of vision? That was me. And what was I thinking of as I sat there? What was that poetic look that crossed my features? Love of my fellow creatures, thoughts of my country, my God, my duty, thoughts of art, truth, beauty? No. I was thinking of capital gains, non-taxable corporate capital gains, with prepaid interest, Swiss francs and Swiss banks, preempted stock with built-in tax benefit, stock by the block, residual interest, rollover premium, guaranteed aggregate. I had been uncharted seas to explore, going places, building an empire of more, 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 and more, and more, and more. Capital gains, projected investments of profit from loss of corporations, a beautiful pyramid reaching the skies, built by a go-getting, go-getting guy, with vision and praise. Who could juggle those capital gains? Capital gains. Say, did I ever tell you how I built my empire? You borrow from one to poke the other. Swing your projects, here we go. I walked in a bank with nothing but a smile. Nothing in my pockets and nothing up my sleeve. But I looked like a kid who would surely get ahead. Before I walked out, the president said, you got vision, you got vision, you got vision. Your check. With this lovely little check, a lovely little loan. Built a lovely office building 40 stories high. Before I was finished, I was doing so well, I borrowed against it and built a hotel. That was vision. That was vision. That was vision. Your check. Bar from one to float the other. Swing your project, here we go. As soon as the hotel foundation was laid, I started a theater and apartment stores. With the prepaid rent of the theater and the stores, I built 100 garages with elevator floors. Check, 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 check. Shopping centers, check, check. Housing projects, check, check. Schools and highways, check, check. Bailey City, check, check. Bar from one to float the other. Swing your projects, here we go. Check from project one to cover project five. Check from project 5, cover project 9. Check for project 35 to cover project 96. Check for project 83 to cover project 2. With a check, check here, and a check, check there. And a here, a check, and there, a check, and everywhere. A check, 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 check. And then one day, one little check just didn't come through on time. Well, my credit was a myth. Kid with vision was a crook, and that was the end of those capital gains, non-taxable corporate capital gains, with prepaid interest, a beautiful pyramid reaching the skies, crumbling to dust right in front of my eyes. I wound up in chains. I'm just with the universe, capital K.
Come on now, folks. Surely you know that that is from Subways Are For, yes, the forbidden word in Santa Cruz, Sleeping. A musical from the early 60s with some great numbers, little known and never done as a movie. So you had to be, I guess, down in New York or a big musical fan to be able to pick up on that one. But I hope that the next musical quiz I give you, you'll be able to do a little better. After all, we have to have an educated audience out there. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and our call-in number is 427-3772. There have only been two people who have actually gone to jail directly as a consequence of protest at the sleepout, though a third person had his dog taken and was jailed for spitting at a host and then a police officer. He was one of the original River Street refugees, and his dog was recovered. That's a man named Michael. We talked about him, I guess, briefly in past shows. The other two men who were sent to jail as part of the 13-day sleepout so far have been Dragon Star Dan Hopkins and Red Top Robert Flory. We're now going to play you an interview with Robert Flory, who went to jail about a week ago, and indeed feared he was going to jail last night because he'd gotten one ticket 24 hours before, and he thought that when the police caught him again, and because he wasn't going to make no secret about what he was doing, he was sleeping. He feels unjust laws should be violated until they're overturned, a rather basic Gandhian position. He feared he would have to go to jail again. He has a phone interview here with us about his first jail experience, which happened about a week and a half ago.
And goes to jail after he gets arrested for lying on top of bedding at City Hall after getting a ticket the previous night at the very same. You were arrested earlier, I guess, today in the wee hours of the morning, right?
About 1 o'clock this morning.
And then you were held for some 12 hours?
I was released from the jail at 1:30.
In the afternoon?
In the afternoon.
Today. It's actually the 4th of March. It's about 5:30 in the evening. And you said you stayed in a very cold jail cell where normally you could sleep, but unfortunately on this occasion it was too cold to sleep.
Well, yeah, for some reason, normally I can sleep on concrete. Well, when you go into jail, they take off all except one layer of your clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wearing about 6 layers of clothing, and they stripped me down to a t-shirt.
They're trying to kind of give you a little survival training, perhaps.
Yes. And then I wasn't wearing socks, so after they took my shoes, I had bare feet. And normally I can sleep on concrete, but this jail cell is just too cold, and so I was unable to sleep.
And you were also kept in there for an extraordinary amount of time, considering there, what, 3 shifts of people came and went as you were, I should say, prisoners were booked in who came in after you many hours later?
Yeah, by about 6 in the morning, I had been in the holding cell longer than anyone else was in the holding cell who was currently there. And then new people came in, and the people who were there left, and the people who had come in were OR'd or taken off to housing, and new people came in, and then they were OR'd or taken off somewhere, and then some more people came in, and I was still there all this time wondering, when am I going to walk out the door just like all these other people?
And you actually observed a small set of instructions which allegedly allowed you to have 3 phone calls as soon as practicable, and you were unable to get any of those phone calls, right?
Yeah, after a while I got frustrated, and I had been wandering around. There was an informational flyer poster on the window, and it said that you have a right to 3 free phone calls, and that these phone calls will be made available to you immediately upon the inmate asks for them, or as soon as is practically possible thereafter, if the sheriffs are busy with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was saying, hey, I would like to make my phone calls now, and I was ignored for quite a while, and then finally one of the sheriffs said, well, you'll be allowed to make your phone calls when you're booked. But I wasn't booked until just before I was released. I was booked, and the very last thing I did was sign a paper saying I had been given an opportunity to make 3 phone calls.
How nice.
And I walked out the door.
After you walked out the door, you initially were told that your property, namely your clothes, your backpack, your bedroll, and your personal items were going to be taken in for safekeeping, correct?
When Officer Pant was driving me from City Hall to the jail in his patrol car, and a crackling voice came over the radio saying, advise Mr. Flory that his property is being taken to the jail for safekeeping, and he can pick it up. So Officer Brandt turned around and said, Mr. Flory, your property has been taken to the jail for safekeeping. You can pick it up from 9 to 5 on any weekday. I said, oh, thank you very much. So when I got out of jail, the first thing I did was go back over to City Hall, and since the police station was right there, I went over to the police station to try to reclaim my property. And the property department told me that my property had been booked into evidence and that I would be unable to obtain it unless I got a DA's release.
I see.
That wouldn't happen until after the trial.
Which will be?
Well, the arraignment is March 27th.
You expect to have a, should we say, a rollicking
trial?
Sorry?
A speedy trial?
Yes. Are you going to waive time on this, or are you going to demand a speedy trial?
Well, I'm not sure yet. It depends on whether or not I get any more tickets and whether we might want to consolidate all the cases together into one bigger case, and whether or not I get my butt over to the law library and figure out...
Who is it? I'm here.
How to defend myself.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, we had a visit knock at the door from my kindly landlady. Anyway, I think that this kind of practice of seizing property, allegedly claiming it was being booked into evidence, was done extensively in 1991 when you, for months, participated in the Iraqi peace vigil at the town clock with the infamous wanton Dave Jacobs, another activist who was similarly enmeshed in protests.
Well, yeah, oftentimes the police would seize displays, or displays, mostly cardboard boxes with signs hanging on them, and book them in evidence, or at the peace vigils in 1994 downtown. One time, my bedding and cardboard was seized and booked into evidence as evidence of sleep crime. But generally, they haven't made a practice of taking personal property like backpacks and claiming that was evidence of crime.
You see a sinister pattern here, perhaps similar to that used in other cities to deny homeless people, particularly homeless protesters, access to rain gear and protective clothing because they're protesting as a form of punishment?
Well, actually, they did take my rain gear and my blankets, and I'm not homeless, so it doesn't affect me too severely, although I did walk home in the rain. Today I got soaking wet. Yeah, I think it's just being extra mean. And to make sure they're extra mean, Lieutenant Habey is being very mean, stealing signs and possibly even beating people.
Right, I heard that story this morning as well. A couple claimed that they had been beaten by Lieutenant Habey. And of course, there was much testimony to the fact that he was stealing signs and literature from the sleep out at City Hall.
Claiming that it was litter.
Right, but not citing anyone for littering.
Not citing anyone for littering. And Becky Johnson made the point that... how can you? This is our right of speech, and you're claiming it's litter. And what does that say about what you or how you regard our free speech rights?
I think it speaks quite eloquently, actually. So you also witnessed a man being tied to a chair and kind of kept in seclusion for hours and hours, and as you observe what was going on in the jail.
Yeah, there is this guy who's screaming and yelling and beating on the... He was all alone in a cell when I got there, and he was screaming, yelling, and beating on the walls of the cell he was in. And the sheriffs came over and said, well, we're going to have to put you in this chair because your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So they wheeled this chair out, and then about 8 sheriffs went in and grabbed him. And so they shackled each leg and each arm into this chair and put seatbelt straps across his chest and across his waist so that his arms and legs were completely immobilized, and only his head was free. And then they backed him into this other cell labeled safety cell number 1, and he was in there all alone, and they closed the door, and then there was a little tiny flap in the door, and they came every 30 minutes or so and opened up the little flap in the door and looked inside to see how he was doing, and then made some notations on a sheet that was attached to a door. And so he was doing a lot of yelling in there and claiming he wanted water, that he needed to use the bathroom, and I guess they did take him some water, and he refused to drink it. And after about 4 hours, they put him back in a cell all by himself. But he hadn't calmed down yet. He was still quite angry, and he was threatening them and saying, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to kill you, and kicking at the door and screaming and yelling. And so they said, well, if you keep that up, we're going to have to put you back in the chair. And he said he didn't care. And so they brought in a sheriff in riot gear, with one of these big plastic shields that you might see used for crowd control. And so the sheriff in the riot gear and about eight other sheriffs, or seven other sheriffs, all went into the cell to get him. And he actually managed to break part of that plastic shield. But they managed to get him back into the chair again. And they
gave him the chair. Oh, incoming call. Well, I want to thank you, Robert, for this extensive interview. We'll talk more later.
Okay.
And that was Robert Flurry on March 4th describing his experiences earlier that day in jail. As I said, he's one of the two people who have been jailed for the crime of sleeping at the Santa Cruz City Hall sleepout, where everyone is invited to come on down, even as we speak. I think there's a shortage of people there, and we've received a report while we were on the air of further harassment by Lieutenant Habee of the Sleep Crime Vigil, with demands by Habee that more materials be cleared away. If you go down there, you'll see things are pretty clean and pretty neat. There's a number of people sitting on both sides of the arcade way that leads to the city council offices, where the mayor holds court along with the other city council members. You can give a call down there. I've been trying without a lot of success, but frequently the phone is answered at 425-9679. Of course, you can call this show at 427-3772 because you're listening to Free Radio 96.3 FM, the station where you can say what you want here in Santa Cruz. Now, the show is slated to end in about 10 minutes, but I may extend it a bit because I've got tapes galore and I'm trying to go through them. And we've got some interesting stuff here, which I think you'll agree is worth hearing. As another opportunity for all of you folks who have been following socially conscious musicals, I'm going to have you listen to this next musical. I want you to call the station immediately if you know the name of this musical. A special additional prize if you can guess the year that it was first issued, and a extra special bonus prize if you can guess the other name under which this musical appeared. Get ready to sit by your phones now, because here it comes.
And over all your hands.
now and older.
Well, the lines have not exactly been jingling off the hook here. All right, gang, that was Inner City, one of my favorite musicals from 1971, re-released as Street Dreams in 1982. A musical that you'll be hearing more from in the shows ahead, maybe even in this show if we go on long enough. I want to announce again the meeting of SOS, Save Our Shelter. Save Our Shelter, as you may remember, was a group established by folks at the Coral Street Open Air Shelter when it was still in existence last fall, who were fighting the closure of that only legal campground in the country and that only legal place to sleep outdoors in Santa Cruz, run by and destroyed by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, with the eager involvement of Councilmember Scott Kennedy and Mayor Mike Rotkin in December. Save Our Shelters fought that closing, and Save Our Shelter was a kind of a mixture of people from the campground and community activists, including myself, Barbara Riverwoman, Charlie Phillips. I believe Sherry Connable got involved, possibly Becky Johnson, Ann Curry from the campground, Dan Hopkins, a whole bunch of folks were involved with it. And under Save Our Shelter met with Daryl Darling and Palmer So, who are Citizens Committee for the Homeless folks who ran the campground, finally hammered out a promise with them, which they promptly broke a month later, and their betrayal, of course, was backed up by the city council. Save Our Shelter is meeting again tonight, which is interesting. It's meeting, as I understand it, from kind of offhand talk with Barbara Riverwoman, who is calling the meeting mainly to disband, although they may be discussing other things. And I invite Barbara, if she's listening to the show, or Sherry, or anyone who has the inside track on SOS, to give us a call and maybe tell us what they at least want to talk about, since SOS has largely for the last 3 months been a creation of Barbara and Sherry. Not to downgrade or derogate what they've done, but they haven't held any meetings, and much of what they've been doing has been meeting privately with city council members, bringing in selected members of the River Street refugees to talk to the council members. They did have an SOS meeting about a week ago, and there'll be one tonight. I believe it's 7 o'clock at the Veterans Hall in room, I hope I have this right, room 24 or 23 on the second floor. Here's an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, I just tried calling down to the payphone.
Uh-huh.
And sort of an official female voice answered.
The City Hall payphone where the sleep out is normally going?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked for someone in specific, and she said no one was around there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's
that should be checked up on, because it sounds like some shit hit the fan.
In other words, you think possibly that the sleepers have been routed?
Either they've been routed, or
they're being cut
or
off.
They're being kept away from the phone.
Well, perhaps I would encourage then those who are listening to get down to the City Hall sleep out and give us a report, maybe call in to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
That's a good idea.
And tell us what's happening.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, caller.
You're very welcome.
All right.
That is disturbing. It seems that if that is true, that they are not, someone answered the phone at the City Hall sleepout who was an official voice, and he got no sleepers on the line, which has been the case for the last 13 days. Tim, do you think that possibly a Habee has launched another raid on the sleepout folks?
I certainly hope not.
Actually, I had heard that Habee had announced such a raid while we were in one of our earlier segments. I tried to get Dan Hopkins to stay on the phone, but he had to go. Actually, we both had to go. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play, we're going to return to the mall for a minute and get an interview or two with what was going on there some days ago within the last week, and we're going to try to get through to that City Hall sleepout and see just what's going on down there. Maybe Tim will be heading in that direction and be able to give us some advice. Tim, are you headed for the City Hall sleepout?
Yeah.
He's going down there. You got a bike?
Yeah.
So he may be able to, in fast and in very quick order, give us a call and tell us just what remains, if anything, of the City Hall sleepout. I encourage everybody else to get down there, too. They need all the support they can, and often, as I said, they're very short-handed during the day. So now's the time to help, not next week, not next year, but now. Indeed, I have a long tape in which we had a lot of disputes this morning about who should or shouldn't be blamed at about coming and sleeping overnight at the sleepout. Why aren't the River Street refugees doing that, and so forth? And the answer is, everybody has their own agenda, and everybody is trying to survive the best way they can, and anything you can put into helping to end the sleeping ban downtown and helping to secure the rights of homeless people in this city and county is good stuff. And you don't have to feel bad if it's not a lot. If you're just doing a little, that's a beginning. But the more energy you can put into a sleepout that has developed and grown and sustained itself for 13 days, the better. I mean, this is now's the time to put some energy into what goes on. Go down there and find out what they need. Offer to help. Keep monitoring that. I understand, as I said, I saw Sherry Connable there last night. I showed up in my bathrobe with three layers of clothes, laying down on cardboard, trying to... not so much as any kind of symbolic gesture against the law, but to be there in case other people got hauled off. And as it happened, nobody got even ticketed. Of course, the harassment from Habee mounted, and I believe that Sean filed a complaint, or actually he filed a claim against the city. If you lose something due to the official malfeasance or misconduct by a city official, including a police officer, you, of course, can file a claim against the city seeking damages for the amount lost, and it doesn't take very long to do that, like 2 minutes at the city clerk's office. So if that's happened to you, comport yourself down there and make such a claim and keep a copy of it for yourself, and then give a call to either me at 423-HUFF, and I'd like to have a copy of that for our records, or call SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. Stop Police Abuse Now is a group that's been run by Nick Whitehead and others for years. It helps people to file complaints, advises them of their rights, keeps archives on past police misconduct, not simply in Santa Cruz City, but in Santa Cruz County, including Parks and Rec cops, including UCSC cops, including Metro Guards, including Sheriff's deputies, CHP deputies, and so forth. That's 475-2012, and the name of the organization is SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. Okay, well, while we're waiting for our... relief squad to see what's happening at the City Hall sleepout, and I encourage you to try to be a relief squad of your own. I tell you, I was, I then I saw a third thing. John Malk had a poster that he had been working on, apparently he'd been working on.